This altar had its horns, its crowns, its staves. These two each speak with a gospel voice. They sing of Jesus and his love and grace. The horns were at each corner placed. They tell of mighty power. Their story is of conflicts fierce. Their anthem is of conquering Christ. In Revelation, he is seen with seven horns. They share with us the joyous tale of captives free from bonds. Our high priest's intercession is strengthened by these signs of strength. A horn has pierced the adversary's heart. Then grasp these prongs, O soul of mine, and cast all doubts and fears away. Your Savior lives. In highest heaven he pleads for you. Not now a mere petitioner, but as a conqueror claiming his victory. Acts of the Apostles, 585. His horns have now, as I have pointed out, the mystic number 7. His might is perfect might. He is omnipotent. No victim on this altar died. Yet it was an altar stained with blood. The high priest splashed these horns with crimson once each year. Exodus 30:10. The season was the day of expiation. Its top and sides and holy vessels were sprinkled 7 times. This writes in carmine script the story of the cross. Calvary laid the foundation for all prayer. For Jesus' blood is on the altar, smeared. His life made horns all-powerful to slay all foes. These streams of red are his strong arguments before his Father's throne. Prayer can reach the King only when spoken by cross-cleansed lips. Our advocate cries, Father, my blood, my blood. Early Writings 38. When God's eye sees this witness, every petition is soon granted. Christ's blood speaks better things than Abel's. Upon this altar was a coronet of gold. This royal emblem links it with the golden ark and the splendid table. In the sanctuary it stands between the signs for fellowship and glory. The crown shouts out the news that Jesus is our King. The government is laid upon his shoulder. Even the Father witnesses of Christ, I have set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. This altar of his intercession is stamped with royal diadem. Our pleader is our Prince, God's only Son. Once long ago, or is it yet today, derision marked him with its circlet of sharp thorns. But now as King he wears Redeemer's chaplet of glory. But though thus honored, he joys to plead for us. The Father hears in his our words. Christ crown is jeweled with bought souls. Malachi 3:17. His voice is echo of my unspoken call. Then sing, my heart. You march to paradise over death-stricken foes. Your captain is the King of heaven. At opposite corners of this altar, 2 rings, and only 2, appear. Exodus 34 and Exodus 27:37. When carried by the priest on the march, it would move forward corner-wise, as the rods lay east and west in the holy place. These hint that the altar stood crosswise. A blood-stained horn then faced each compass point. There, leaders of the tribes of God encamp. This stance repeats one story clearly. Victorious prayer reaches to all God's folk. From them its message cheers the farthest corner of the world. Upon its voice there comes this word, blood-bought intercession by our Lord is planned for all. Within the rings gold-clad staves are put. The altar ever stands in readiness to move. Even these staves speak with the gospel's voice. Wherever man may camp, there will this altar come. Place cannot prison prayer. Time cannot tie. Our pleader is not bound. He seeks the lonely exile. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he promises, there am I in the midst to bless. Elijah by the desert stream alone is cheered. Paul in his noisome dungeon is lifted into song. Christ stands by Jacob's pillow rock. His form shares furnace heat with Hebrew youths. He heeds the prayers of Egypt's slaves and stands by Solomon's palace halls. Christ reaches each who reaches him in prayer. There is no appropriate place in which to pray. A jail in Philippi, a fish's belly in the sea, a tyrant's lion's den, the temple's golden halls are each alike to God, a place of answered prayer. In Israel's busy life, God's altar stood in center. In every time and place, my soul dart prayers to heaven in faith. Bible Commentary, Volume 3, 1155. Christ ever hears, for Christ is there. The horns and crowns are signposts for our hearts. They tell of conflicts won, of victories gained. Prayer's struggles end in triumph sweet. Heaven's path is marked by vigils long and watchings oft. But at its end, its victor's crown of joy and peace await the prayer. Take courage then. Struggle on. Prayer is the center of your life, the threshold leading up to paradise. He who ministers at this altar looks up to God. He leaves the copper altar far behind. There expiation has achieved its task. The Lamb has died. Its blood mapped out the path that he should take. And so he marched. Into the holy place he came. Past light and bread his journey lay. To intercession's golden stand he made his way. Two altars mark his progress toward the throne. The blood on both is one. It is the Lord's. His blood bought peace. It reconciled. It authorized. Around yon copper altar is death's struggle. About the golden altar is fragrant peace. This altar links the cross and crown. It notes the pilgrim's latest stage. Beyond lies glory. Then lift the veil with boldness, timid heart, and enter in. Your advocate stands there by your side. He who attains this fellowship complete holds mercy in his hands and glory in his eyes. Sins blotted out sink in the depths of ocean waves. Heaven's light breaks upon his soul. The altar's burnished gold gleams with these glorious truths. This altar had one only use. Upon it incense fumed. When lamps of God were trimmed at dawn and lit again in twilight's dusk, the perfume rose on high with fragrant wings. This too has a message for us. Lift hands and heart in prayer to God before the day begins. And when the tasks are laid aside and we alone with God the day review, then pray again. Prayer is the framework of life's activities. Remember, O my soul, to pray at dawn. Give thanks at dusk. Note well Jehovah's ordered way. The sacred spark was born from sacred coals. The copper altar was its place of birth. From highest heaven, Jehovah's flame had reached to earth to consume the stricken lamb. The law fulfilled, the curse endured, the wrath appeased, the covenant ratified. These are the words of this celestial fire. And in the court it ever glowed upon the copper altar's hearth. This spark was carried in a censer of pure gold. By consecrated hands alone it might be borne. The gleaming bowl was placed within the circling coronet atop the altar in the holy place. Within the shadow of protecting and all-powerful horns it found its rest. The prepared spice was spread upon the searing embers. Then clouds of fragrance rose to meet the sky, and all the was perfumed as the garden of the Lord. Patriarchs and Prophets 348. Here we are told its fragrance was diffused for miles around the camp. Look closely at the source of this so sacred spark. Fundamentals of Education, 427. It might be kindled by no human skill. Its birthplace is the highest heaven. It points to him who is a consuming flame. God's fire accepts the death-dealt lamb on the copper altar laid. This marks the mediation of the Master. This makes it mighty. God's hallowed spark is yet another link to join these altars in one mystic ministry. Calvary is intercession's firm foundation. Mark this truth well. The victim altar feeds prayer's altars, hearth. The cross assures that he who thereon died stands mighty at the judgment seat. No alien fire might on this gleaming altar burn. Some in rebellion brought strange sparks and perished by divine sent wrath. Leviticus 10:1-3. The incense on this altar must be burned. The word for burn means to give forth an odor. So the Lord smells a sweet savor and accepts the offering. The fire must reach into its heart. The sparks must search its soul and sear its substance into ash. Then only will its fragrant virtues rise to fill the place. So Jesus died to intercede. The flames of hate devoured him that he might live to plead for us. The furnace glowed about his gold. This incense always burned. Exodus 30, verse 8. Its sweetness never ceased to flow. Its perfumed ministry continued ever. Heaven is filled with the precious savor of our Lord. His intercession never stops. To care for this, he ever lives and lives forever. Hebrews 7:24-28. He pleads for all. He ever lives to plead. His Father's heart is gladdened by these odors. All blessings flow forth at their train. The Spirit comes on wings to guide. Angel hosts hasten to minister to every need. My soul, may this sweet incense be thy constant breath. This altar's place was hallowed ground. No common foot might trespass there. Only God's chosen priest might worship by its gleaming crown. This is a signpost to New Testament reality. For in Christ's church, the poorest saint is consecrated priest. To all but dedicated men, this spot is little known. Even the mighty King Uzziah presumed within the sacred shrine in vain to offer incense. Leprosy was mirror of his soul. Leviticus 13:44. Dread stroke of judgment stern, it drove him forth to die. But this result was not Jehovah's plan. He makes provision by the Spirit's power. We may be born again as priests. Grasp then by faith your calling. Born into Christ, his privileges are yours. With boldness come before the veil. This is your heritage. Your Father waits. All help stands ready for your call. Consecration is your path to all prevailing prayer. No alien censer to this altar might be brought. Presumptuous men have tried in vain. With censers made of bronze and flames from their own hearths, they came with hearts so hot with pride, and there they died. The very earth, disgusted with their arrogance, swallowed them. He who would at this altar minister must come with Calvary's cleansing flame and blood of dying lamb and censer formed of gold. These two are signs that point to Jesus. He is God's own accepting fire. He is God's own dying lamb. His righteousness is heaven's own incense sweet. His body glorified bears prayer to God in a censer of purest gold. He has no fear. Who follows in his steps need also have no fear. But his prayers are an abomination to his God, who prays while corroding iniquity dwells within his soul. Proverbs 28:9. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord is clearly written on this type. What is then this incense? The psalmist's pleading voice the answer gives. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense. Psalm 141:2. This tells a thrilling tale. Incense is well pleasing to Jehovah's heart. The fragrant cloud enwraps our tears and cries. Our yearnings are clothed with beauty within its perfumed vapors. Wrapped in it, they soar to God as in a rising flame. Christ's incense covers all in tapestries of loveliness. Incense directs our hearts to Him who is our Rose of Sharon. Christ intercedes for us. The glory of His name is all supreme. What is the Spirit's word? Christ is the fragrance, the holy incense which makes our petitions acceptable to the Lord. Selected Messages, Volume 1, 333. Then lift your eyes of faith to Him. Watch Jesus in God's sanctuary. There, Christ, your mediator, stands before the Father to present your prayers, mingled with His own merit and spotless righteousness, as fragrant incense. Counsels to Teachers, 241. Raise then your stuttering cry to God. Jesus will present it to the Father without one awkward, stammering word, beautiful and fragrant with the incense of His perfection. Desire of Ages, 667. For this we thank Thee, O Father. Pray on, my soul. The incense of your advocate is mighty with your God. How then was this precious incense made? The Lord selects the spices with great care. Heaven's apothecary joins them into one odor sweet. By God's express design, five substances combine. Take unto thee, Jehovah said, these spices, stacte, onica, and galbanum, with pure frankincense, and make a perfume, salted together, pure and holy. Exodus 30, 34, and 35, margin. The graces of our Savior are signaled by these five perfumes. O Spirit Light, now lighten our hearts to read these signs of thine aright. Stacte is bitter to the taste, but full of fragrance. Onica is the basis of perfumes. Upon its wings the bouquet dances on the breeze. Galbanum, crushed or burned, stimulates with its aroma. The smell of pure frankincense then covers all unpleasantness. Salt is next added to preserve the mass. The natures of these five are guideposts leading us to prayer. Now let us consider the anatomy of converse with our God. First, think of the bitterest part of prayer. Our sins distress. Iniquities weigh heavily. Our guilt cries out of death. Our filthy rags lead on to judgment. What shall we do? We groan. The word of God directs. Confession of our sins must first be made. This is ever spoken in sore bitterness of heart. Daniel 9:4, Ezra 10:1. We know we are without excuse. The Scripture's voice bids all confess your faults one to another and your sins to God. So stacte first into the pestle goes. Like stacte, confession has initial place in converse with our God. What is the framework of all prayer? What moves the mind to joy, the heart to sing? What wakens rich appreciation and deep love? Is it not gratitude to our God? What He has done in ages gone, excite. What He has done for you in all your yesterdays, what He will do for you in tomorrow's needs, do not these thoughts raise joy of heart, anthems on our lips? O soul of mine, in all thy prayers, in everything, let thy requests with thanksgiving be made to God. Philippians 4:6. It was ever thus the Savior prayed. His praise seemed to banish the evil angels, and like incense fill the place with fragrance. Desire of Ages 74. So onica must be added. Galbanum next is brought. Its keenness joins the rest. Enthusiasm has a vital place in life. He who asks and asks again, again, brings heaven close to him. The importunate widow's voice is often raised. The answer then must surely come. shamelessness is Christ's own word, translated importunate in the story he told. Let us ask often in our fervor. God waits to answer. But listless, faithless prayer is an insult to Christ. His zeal was always seen in burning dedication. He was crushed. Affliction met him in the field. His motives were thus tried. Yet he is our example now. Galvanum's virtue, too, is shown by hammer or by fire. Smitten, burned, its keenness comes to our minds. So the sign of zest was added by the skillful hand, and on the altar it must burn to test its worth. The word the apostle speaks to us is this: ever supplicate your God. Philippians 4:6. Christ prayed with fervor until heard. My soul, do thou the same. Then pure frankincense joins the rest. Its fragrance covers every taint of bitterness. Its presence pervades them all. Its lovely breath sighs now of forests deep, and then of mountains clean. This springtime has resurrection's voice of rising sap and newborn life. Its purity and whiteness add a messianic message. In him who is our life, there is no darkness, only light and love. Frankincense speaks of Jesus' all-powerful name. This must ever fill our prayers. Its glory fills all else. Lastly, the offering is savored with the salt. This substance seasons and preserves. What is the import? It only points to Christ. It ever points to him. Its voice cries out of his almighty faith. His faith sustained him here on earth. It made his prayers all-powerful in heaven. The Lord's own brother urges us, let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering. James 1:6. Mark adds the Savior's very words, whatsoever he desire when he pray, believe that he receive them, and he shall have them. Mark 11:24. Where points the Spirit by this sign? Ellen White notes, the savor of the salt is divine grace. Testimonies, Volume 3, 559. The saving salt is the righteousness of our Savior. Desire of Ages, 439. Faith flavors all life's activities. Faith preserves our very life. Our Savior adds his grace to us. He puts his righteousness into our words and acts and thoughts. So salt was added to the incense by divine command. Without it, in fact, no offering was ever accepted by Jehovah. Our prayers need, then, the heavenly salt. There is but one method to prepare this fragrant incense. Thou shalt beat some of it very small. Exodus 30:36. What sorrows lie buried in the word beat. The pestle struck a myriad blows. The flail struck Jesus often. The trials smote him sore. Ingratitude pierced his heart. But being reviled, he never reviled. Being hated, he always loved. Being despised, he proffered all heaven to his enemies. He suffered being bruised. His stripes are sinners' medicine. His wounds have healing power. The incense was to be beaten very small. There is no unevenness in his substance, no rough pieces, no unblended portions. Christ is perfect in the smallest detail. And through the beating, his character flowed out in all its richness. His tribulations perfected him as our advocate. His offering is complete, and as our intercessor, he executes his self-appointed work, holding before God the censer containing his own spotless merits and the prayers, confessions, and thanksgiving of his people. Perfumed with the fragrance of his righteousness, these ascend to God as sweet incense. Christ Object Lessons 156. It is heaven's perfectness and ours. Completed, God gave this treasured incense a special place. His word is clear. Thou shalt put of it before the testimony. Exodus 30:36. Our Savior rose to highest heaven. Before God's throne, He ever dwells for us. When God looks at man, He sees the God-man. Jesus is all lovely. He takes our place. His virtue has provided all we need. The Spirit of Prophecy notes, there is an inexhaustible fund of perfect obedience accruing from His obedience. How is it that such an infinite treasure is not appreciated? In heaven, the merits of Christ, His self-denial and self-sacrifice, are treasured up as incense to be offered up with the prayers of His people. As sincere, humble prayers ascend to the throne of God, Christ mingles with them the merits of His life of perfect obedience. Our prayers are made fragrant by His incense. General Conference Bulletin, Volume 3, Page 4, 1899. But mark the vivid warning. No imitation of this incense might ever be made. God gave this prohibition. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from the people. Exodus 30:38. To desecrate this type was to court sure death. But much more clearly does reality warn. To trifle with prayer is sin. To invite the intercession of Jesus for selfishness ends in judgment. No counterfeit was accepted by Jehovah. This too directs us to our Lord. Only the perfectness of Christ is the sinner's treasure. There is no other. Self-righteousness is unrighteousness. Yourself, in the warning, is against personal motives and vain whims. These will avail us nothing before our God. But when Jesus whispers for our cause, our weakest cries are mighty. Without His help, our works and prayers are valueless. Our rites and worship only smolder into smoke. But when our high priest's voice joins with our prayers, His merits sweeten all we are and all we do. The king might well ask his bride, "What is thy request? It shall be given to thee to the half of the kingdom." He offers us a share upon His throne. His promise always is, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you." John 16:23. The sacred places were thus perfumed with musk. This fragrance was never absent for 1 hour. The priests breathed there this sweetness constantly. For us in Gospel's time, prayer is the breath of the soul. Gospel Workers 2:54. Our lives must always be filled with its loveliness. If this be so, then a fragrant atmosphere surrounds the believing, thankful soul who offers grateful prayers to his Heavenly Father. Ellen G. White, Signs of the Times, September 4, 1901. We may, because of this, pray without ceasing. Look upward with intense sincerity, for you need constant draughts of the refreshing air of heaven. We need to live in constant communion with our Heavenly Father. Ellen G. White, That I May Know Him, page 290. Then my soul ever breathed this celestial air of deep devotion. The substance of incense was heaven's choice. Each part in the careful proportions must be weighed. Each must be of like weight. Exodus 30:34. In harmony, they sing redemption's song. Each points to virtues in Christ's life. These virtues make His intercession weighty. They are evenly balanced and exactly right. Christ's character is all harmony. His justice yields not overmuch to mercy. His tolerance does not shadow His righteousness and hatred of sin. In Him perfectly blend goodness and severity. The sinews of His strength are mingled in light weight. There is no weakness, nor a flaw. Incense must be presented only in a dish of gold. This clear finger points to the will of God. Those who brought lesser vessels, as we have noted, died. What does the spirit say of this sign? Ellen White continues, in the golden censer of truth as presented in Christ's teachings, we have that which will convict and convert souls. Gospel Workers 309. The censer, then, is truth. God's word is truth indeed. It reveals the glory of Christ's powerful pleadings. In it there is nothing false. This was the way the ancient priests ministered. Now, the spirit of prophecy says, those who are invested with Christ's spirit are virtually clothed with priestly garments and are placed on vantage ground, commissioned to preach to others. Christ puts into their hands a censer filled with the incense of his righteousness, and he distinctly pledges himself to answer their supplications. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 2, pages 28 and 29. Then pray, O gospel priest, for souls in need of prayer. He who offered incense reached nearest to the throne. This ministry was the choicest service for any priest. Is this your view of prayer? In ancient times, the priest might proffer incense only once. So the Mishnic tract Tamid tells us in chapter 5, paragraph 2. Because there were so many, this privilege was not given to men more than once in their lifetime. Today there is no limit thus imposed. What value do you hold of prayer? As oft as ye will, our prayers may truly rise to God. In Israel's day, the priest within the shrine ministered the incense. Without, the people prayed in deep devotion. Luke 1:10. Our high priest stands before the throne today. The censer of his love is lifted high. The altar coals are red. They make the fragrance rise. The perfume of his merits fills the place. His ransom blood is precious for our aid. He is now pleading, never ceasing, ever ready. The whole multitude of the people, the gospel tells us, were praying without at the time of the incense. Does this record what you are doing now? Our pleader fills all his part. All things are ready. There's no more he can provide. Then act your role with eager love. Let prayers be said with fervor, morning and evening. Let confession be made in all sincerity. Ask in faith, waver not, and ask again and again until the boon is yours. This is the message of God's ancient rite. It speaks to us. It ever speaks. Oh, may we heed its voice. God wishes us to ask. Ezekiel 36, 37. When ancient priests bore their censers, fragrance followed. We are God's royal priests. Our high priest now is ready to put his merits as sweet incense in the censer of our hands in order to encourage our petition. Testimonies, Volume 8, 178. We then must continually pray. Our hearts should crave this ministry. Our intercession should reach others in greater need. Are we ready to bear with joy this burden day by day? For this was Enoch's own victorious pathway. His faith waxed stronger, Ellen White remarks. His love became ardent with the lapse of centuries. To him, prayer was the breath of the soul. He lived in the atmosphere of heaven. Testimonies, Volume 8, 330. And then God called him home. Prayer lifts us up to God. There let us ever live. Paul speaks with the Spirit's voice. He looks into the shrine of God. He sees no golden altar. His eye is fastened on a censer of pure gold. Hebrews 9, 3 and 4. He sees it rest within the holiest place of all. This has one meaning. It is only on the day of final expiation, the day of atonement, to which this could apply. The way into this awe-filling place is open now. Since 1844, we have been living in the Day of Atonement. The veil is rent. The incense breathes directly to the throne. We now have open access to our God in his beloved Son. When God led Israel in the wilderness, he ordered what to do. The golden altar was the last to cease its ministry of love. Upon it, last of all, the mantle of rich blue was spread, Numbers 4, 11 and 12. Does this too have a voice for us? The last to cease of all Christ's act is pleading prayer. The robe of purity and priestly power he soon will lay aside. Then his royal robe of heavenly blue he will put on. When our pleader steps upon his throne as potentate, his priestly function is at an end. Before that day, my soul, be right with God in Christ. The censer of gold has one more purpose. In Israel's day of expiation, the high priest passed within the inner veil. He bore this golden dish up to the ark. Before God's mercy seat it rested. The eloquent fragrance filled the place. Only then God's elect were judged. The advocate was there. The pleadings of the Lord for sins forgiven were on the throne. The cries for mercy were all heard. Then peace took up her rest in Israel's camp. All this has now a gospel voice. Today in heaven the great assize is on. Today we have an advocate with God. His censer smokes. His merits are in readiness to cover up all sin. His blood is there to plead. But do you know what you should do? Do you cry out for pardon? Do your tears in torrents flow? Does your soul long for cleansing from all guilt? If so, then pray. Your prayer is heard. The peace of God is for your rest. And when the judgment is complete, the censer's role is done. An angel flings it through to the earth. The pleader pleads no more. The fragrance spreads no longer. No farther does its sweetness then avail. The lively coals die out, and prayer is no more prayer. The judge of all will then declare his sentence. He who righteous is, so will remain. He who chooses filth to be his robe is filthy ever. Probation's hour has passed. The golden altar has completed God's appointed task. What fate will then be yours? On which side will you stand, my soul? Heed well this message. Clear and fragrant with God's love, your pleader is still here. Mine is still yours.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.